All right. Well, today we want to jump right into our teaching series. And so it is this series that we are calling Why Jesus Makes Sense. And so if you are new or newer here and you're on a spiritual journey, man, you have showed up at a great time. And we're so glad that you're here. If you're trying to figure out who is this Jesus, man, I hope that you'll stick with us over the next several weeks as we talk about why Jesus makes sense. Last week we started this conversation, and we're going to continue this for the next several weeks. And today we're going to zero in on this idea right here that Jesus makes sense because he is uniquely qualified to walk with us in our pain. Jesus is uniquely qualified to walk with us in our pain. Now, I challenge you, don't do this right now, but when you go home, or on your way home, if you're not driving, Google what gods, little g, what gods will be with me in hard times. What gods, little g, G-O-D, gods will be with me during hard times or difficult times. And you know what? I was shocked. I really was. Man, I was hoping to come up and I was ready to, because I did this week. And when I Googled that, what came up on the first page, you know, within seconds, Google grabs all these websites, and the very first one were all these verses from the scripture about God, Yahweh. And then on the next page, same thing. The next page, the same thing. The next page. I finally stopped at page 12. You know, at the bottom, you know how you can. I got to page 12, and it continued to only grab clips, whether they were teaching clips, preaching clips, Bible verses. That's the only thing Google knew was God, was Jesus. And I'm like, yeah, even Google knows that only Jesus is uniquely qualified to walk with us in the hardest of our pain. And I just want you to think about this. Think about the weight of the words of a friend who you know went through a very similar difficult situation, and now you find yourself in that situation and they speak into your life. That carries weight with you, doesn't it? That resonates with you because you're like, yeah, they know because they went through this difficulty. Jesus has been through what we'll see in the text. Jesus has went through, has experienced difficulty, and he understands. And so he can speak into our life. And here in Hebrews, what we want to make sure, because the author speaks of this, we're in Hebrews chapter 2, so take your Bibles, go to Hebrews chapter 2. The author is going to speak into this because you and I know this is true too, right? You know somebody, listen, you know somebody who went through a difficult time. And when they went through that difficult time, they started having lots of doubts about who God is, who God says he is. They started wondering about their faith. And is God really real? Is God really who he says he is? And all of a sudden, there's this slow drift. Just a slow drift. Most of the time, it's not a hard right turn or it's not a hard left turn. When somebody goes through a difficult circumstance, right? It's a slow drift. Somebody who professes to have faith. Somebody who says, yes, I place my faith. They have even lived that. But then when all of a sudden what they believed up here about who God was and then what they experienced are at odds with each other, there's this slow drift. Now all of a sudden they just go through the motion. Now all of a sudden it's not meaningful anymore. And they just start to drift. And what the teacher here in Hebrews does is he warns us about this slow drift. Listen to verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 1. We must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it. Now, don't forget what they're going through, right? They had placed their faith and trust in Jesus. And life has not gotten better for them. It has gotten worse. It's harder. In fact, the oppression is gaining ground on them. They're feeling the effects of persecution. And they are starting to have their doubts as they go through this. And the teacher here in Hebrews is warning them, hey, listen, be careful to pay attention, to stay focused on the truth that you have already been taught, the truth that you, where you have already placed your faith in the person of Jesus, because they have already done that. He says, or we may drift away. Our pilot friends, if we have any pilot friends in here, you may be familiar with what they call the 1 in 60 rule. Are you familiar with that 1 in 60 rule? What the 1 in 60 rule is, it says that for every degree that you are off, you will land 60 miles away from your target destination. For every 1 degree that you're off, just 1 degree, for every 60 miles... Every 6 miles, you're going to be 60 miles away from your original target date. That's that slow drift. Doesn't sound like that bad. 1 degree, just one little tiny degree, you're going to be off. But you think about that over a journey of a lifetime, and you're going to miss your target destination. It was November the 28th of 1979. New Zealand was offering these charter sightseeing flights to go down to Antarctica. And here is actually one of the sites that they would go around is Mount Erebus. Mount Erebus is still actually, it's an active volcano there in that frozen part of our globe. And they were flying flights down to Antarctica from New Zealand. And, you know, it was like I saw a little clip on YouTube, and it looked like a tour bus, honestly. People were up with their cameras moving from one side of the plane to the other side of the plane. And this the flight that happened in November the 28th actually was carrying 257 people. And everybody has their cameras out. They're taking pictures. And this is something that was just like spectacular back in this time. And then the researchers believe what had happened was what they call a whiteout. Not necessarily because of a whiteout of snow blowing, but because of where the white of the sky and the white of the earth had just kind of merged. And the pilots, to their not to their knowing, their program of their flight pattern was 2 degrees off from where they had normally flown. And on that November the 28th in 1979, that plane carrying 257 people flew right into Mount Erebus, killing all of them because of 2 degrees off. Disastrous. So we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift. Even just 2 degrees, we may drift, and the end result could be disastrous for you spiritually. So, how do we make sure that we don't drift? The teacher goes on to say, for the message that God delivered through angels has always stood firm. And every violation of the law and every act of disobedience was punished. So what makes us think that we can escape, that you and I, other Christ followers, what makes us think that we can escape if we ignore this great salvation? This truth of who Jesus is. What makes us think that our life won't end in disaster if we ignore who the person of Jesus is? That was first announced by the Lord Jesus himself. Don't forget that these people who are receiving this teaching, they probably knew somebody that knew somebody who was there, who saw or heard Jesus, even after the death and burial of Jesus, because he was resurrected. And for 40 days, there he was in live in front of people. And so somebody knew somebody. And here they're saying, don't you forget this great salvation that has been brought to us. Don't forget the Lord Jesus himself. And then it was delivered to us by who? By those who heard him speak. Like, don't forget about this. That's what they're saying. So, what makes Jesus uniquely qualified to walk with us in our pain? Why is Jesus unlike any other God? And it's because of this one theological term, incarnation. Incarnation. Jesus is the only God who makes this claim to be God and then come in human form, flesh and blood. Here's what incarnation means. This theological term just means becoming God becoming human through Jesus, fully God, yet fully human. So fully God, fully human. Back in our text, slide down to verse number 14. It says, because God's children are human beings. And then just in case people don't know what human beings are, he's like, you know, made of flesh and blood. We cut, we bleed, right? That's what he's saying. The Son also became a human being. He also became flesh and blood. So Jesus, who was God, he left and he became incarnate. He became the incarnation of God. He became God in the flesh. He became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die. Not, he didn't die as God. He died as a human being, fully human, as a sacrifice for us. And only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. This is so... See, Satan had the power over death. And when Jesus came and he died, but then resurrected on the third day, he broke that power. And what he does is his gift to you and I is to offer us from breaking the power of death in our lives. Now that's the great salvation. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. Only in this way, only in this way, could only in this way as God becoming incarnate in the flesh, only as God could become human, only in that way could our lives be broken from that bondage of being what? Slaves to the fear of dying. Now, let me say this. That doesn't mean the process of dying doesn't leave you like a little bit. The other day I was sitting at a lunch table and one of our staff asked this question. So, and they want us to go around the table. And they were like, so how would you like to die? I think there's something like that. They want to know how we would like to die. And I'm like, well, that's definitely a no-brainer. We know it's not by water and it's not by fire, all right? It's not from jumping out of an airplane and going splat, right? It's not any, it's like just close my eyes and go to sleep, right? I mean, that's the best way to go die, right? And of course, we're going to be like fearful of the process of dying in the sense of I don't want that pain. I don't want to die in some torturous death and, you know, be torn. No one wants to do that. But that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about the fear of the unknown, of what happens when your life is finished here on this earth. And that is what we are free from. Because with Jesus, you can know, as the great salvation, you can know your life really can be on a firm foundation. And you won't have to worry about what happens when we die. So the incarnation is what makes Jesus uniquely qualified to walk with us in our own suffering. So he goes on to say, we also know that the Son did not come to help angels. So last week we talked about that, right? The angels, and like, where did that come from? Well, here it's popped up here again. And he says, no, he came to help descendants of Abraham. And his point there, because he's talking to Jewish people, he's just saying human beings, human people, flesh and blood. Jesus had to leave heaven, come to earth, become fully human. Why? So that he did that to help us, so that we could have this great salvation. Therefore, he says, because of all of that, it was necessary for him, Jesus, to be made in every respect like us. It was necessary. Did you capture that? It was necessary for Jesus to be made just like you and just like me. Meaning he had emotions, he had feelings. You know, sometimes we think Jesus had like superpowers. Jesus didn't have superpowers other than the Holy Spirit. That was his superpower, Holy Spirit. And guess what? You have the Holy Spirit too. Here, therefore, it was necessary for him to be made in every respect like us, his brothers and sisters. Hold up, what? I thought he was God. I thought we were like holy. Yes, he's that too. Hold it. What? He calls us his brothers and sisters. Whoa, this is like what? Mind blowing. His point is he's made just like you and I. He's like, we're brothers, we are sisters, so that he could be what? Our merciful high priest before God. Here's that temple language I told you. It's going to show up throughout this whole series because it was written to Jewish people who were all about worshiping in the temple. And here's this high priest again. But here he says that Jesus was able to be our merciful. What? How can Jesus be so merciful in our life? Because he knows what it's like to wear flesh and blood. That's how. He knows what it's like to be tempted. He knows, he understands that. He was tempted. He understands what it means to hurt and to go through pain. He says, we also know. Oops, did I just go backwards? He was our merciful high priest and faithful high priest before God. Then he could offer. Then he could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people. This is what Jesus did. This is the great salvation. This is why it was so necessary for him to give up all of his divinity and to become fully human as the person of Jesus in flesh and blood. Then notice what he says in verse 18. Since Jesus has gone through suffering and testing, he is able to help us when we are being tested. Since Jesus suffered. Remember the weight of the words of your friend who went through a difficult circumstance and then you find yourself in a similar circumstance, they speak into your life. Remember the weight of that? Like, you lean into that. Jesus, because Jesus himself has gone through suffering. Think about the emotional suffering that Jesus went through. Think about the ridicule that people would call him names. Think about how they would be. Think about his own brothers and sisters. You have problems with your brothers and sisters, right? You have those problems. His own brothers and sisters didn't even believe. They made fun of him. Oh, you're the Son of God. Sure you are. Yeah, I slept in a room with you. I know what goes on in there, right? They're like making fun of him, mocking him, telling him, oh, if this is who you are, then go down and show yourself at the tabernacle, at the feast time. Do your siblings ever make fun of you? And the weight? Has there been emotional abuse in your life? Has somebody turned their back? I mean, like somebody that you called into your inner circle and, man, you entrusted them with your heart. You trusted them with things that you have never told anybody but you told them. And then all of a sudden, they turn on you. Jesus experienced that. Jesus knows what it's like to suffer. Jesus knows what it's like to have somebody that he loves and to see die. And to see what pain causes those loved ones. He understands that. Jesus wept. Jesus not only wept over death and what death does, the cause of death of sin. He didn't just weep over that. He would go and sit above Jerusalem. And he would just weep over the city of Jerusalem because they didn't believe that he was God in the flesh. And then the physical abuse that he took on, the spitting in the face, the slapping of the face, the physical beating that he took over the crucifixion. He knows what suffering is like. He knows the kind of suffering where you go through and like you don't have anything. You can't point back to and say, oh, look at this amazing house that Jesus built. Look at this amazing business that Jesus left behind, this carpentry business that he left behind as a legacy. No, you can't see any of that. He did that. None of that is there. See, Jesus knows what it's like to suffer and on every respect. And here's somehow in the church, and when I say church, I'm talking about the global church, we've got this idea that if I believe in Jesus as my Savior, there shouldn't be any suffering in my life. And that's just not the case, because suffering is a part of being a disciple of Jesus. That is actually part of following and practicing the way of Jesus, is that you are going to suffer. Count on it. Is it hard? Absolutely. Is it discouraging? Oh my goodness. Yes. But is it impossible? No. Here is Paul, the Apostle Paul said this, for you have been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, that's the salvation part, but also the privilege of suffering for him. That's a privilege. Why is that a privilege? Because as we suffer, the purpose behind the suffering is to make us more like Jesus, to bring into us the mind of Christ, the character of Christ. It is, Dallas Willard said this, it is only in the heat of pain and suffering, both mental and physical, that real human character is forged. And I know what you're thinking, especially if you're in the middle of it, then count me out. I don't want any forged character, you know, right? I mean, come on. That's what we all would say, everybody that's in their right mind. You know, they want to tap in and they'd be like, hey, I like this whole Jesus thing, but I don't like the suffering part. They go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. Suffering is a part of it. Where did Dallas Willard get this? Right from Paul. To the church in Rome. Paul writes to Rome, we can rejoice too. Rejoice, hold on, what? Yeah, you can rejoice when we run into problems and trials. When your marriage ends and you're just like, oh my gosh, what has happened here? No, it says we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us to develop endurance. And the endurance develops the strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. If you will let it. And if you don't let the slow drift sneak in. If you don't let that 1 degree, 2 degrees get you off course. Your suffering can actually help you to be developed into a better Christ follower, if you'll let it. See, here's the way that Peter put it. Peter said, in his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered, after you have went through that relationship blow up, after you have went through that financial loss, after you have lost everything, he's saying, after you have suffered a little while, that Jesus, God will restore, He will support, and He will strengthen you, and He will place you on a firm foundation. We sang about that. This is what He wants to do in your life. He wants to restore you. He wants to support you. And He wants to strengthen your character. He wants to form you to become more like Jesus so that you can practice the way of Jesus. See, your suffering, your hardship can actually be an opportunity to point other people back to God. And nobody likes it. It's hard. But remember that He Himself has gone through the suffering and testing. He is able to help us when we are being tested. He's able to be with you. He's able to help you right now. On September the 30th, it's going to mark 1 year since my dad has went to heaven. Zoe and I were at Clyde's Cider Mill on Monday, which is an amazing place. You need to go there. But as we were there and we were in line, I saw this older gentleman. I'm assuming it was his son, adult son, with his wife and their kids. And I just saw that dad place his hand on the shoulder of his son and was just like, I'm so proud of you. And was just like rubbing his hand on his shoulder. And all of a sudden I'm having flashbacks. Because that's what my dad, if my dad was still around, he would do that. That's something my dad would do. He'd just place his hand on my shoulder and say, son, I'm proud of you. I'm praying for you. I don't get that anymore here. But Jesus is able to help. Jesus is able to remind me, yeah, He's not here, but He's there. It's just a temporary separation. And before long, you're going to be with Him. I don't know what you're carrying today, but I know that you're carrying something. And whatever it is that you're carrying, Jesus is able to help. Will you let Him? And that's what the very first next step is all about. Will you take out your connection card? They're actually spelled out in the bulletin. Or if you have the app, they're right there in the app. The very first one says, pray I can experience the power of Jesus walking with me in my time of suffering. You need to experience the power of Jesus to get you through that suffering. And we want to pray for you. Will you let us know how to pray for you? And we will do that on Tuesday. And we're going to be sharing this with our prayer ministers. And they'll be able to pray with you as well. The other next step says, I need to be more focused on what God is trying to form in my character than trying to avoid the suffering of the here and now. Pray for me. See, this is the key component. I want you, everybody at Lincoln in South County, you guys need to hear this. And right here in Cranston location, you need to hear this. Stop trying to avoid suffering. Receive it. Receive the suffering. Receive the hardship. And let Christ form His character inside of you so that you can become a better Christ follower. Because that's what He wants to do. And we want to pray for you. So let us know how to pray for you. If you have the hard copy, you can drop them right into the offering boxes right in the back of this room. Or if you're in South County or Lincoln, just indicate it on that connection card or the app. The last one are for those of you who, this is really a call for salvation. Because you've never called upon Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've never invited Him. You've never accepted Jesus' sacrifice for the forgiveness of your sins. That's what you need to do. This is the step for you. It says, I have never accepted the sacrifice of Jesus' life for my sin problem. I would like to understand more about this. And if that's where you are, will you just indicate it on the connection card or on the app and give us your name and your phone number where we can reach out to you. We can walk you through this. We would love to do that. Will you? I know that's a bold move, but it's a move. If you haven't done that yet, Jesus is definitely calling you to take that step. Jesus, we need you and we're dependent upon you. And we are so thankful that you're a God who helps us through our suffering. Come and meet us where we are. Thank you for doing that.